Let's pray together. Lord, you have a message for us today. For some, it is a message of encouragement and challenge to persevere. For others, it is a word of warning. Lord, I'm an unworthy messenger. But Lord, like Paul, I glory in my weakness, knowing that in my weakness you are made strong. So Lord, be made strong in me today. Move me out of the way, Lord, and cause me to speak only that which you would desire to be heard today. And work among us for your glory. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm amazed sometimes how God ties things together behind the scenes, aren't you? A week ago yesterday, I had the opportunity, I got called in the morning and asked if I could speak that night at a youth and young adults event because their speaker had backed out. So, you know, trying to be instant in season, out of season, yeah, I went and did it. And the Lord gave me a word to speak to these people about how to live with a Christian, how to view current events in the world through a Christian mindset or something along those lines. And so I spoke, and someone after even mentioned, well, you can just preach that tomorrow. Well, I couldn't last week. I learned that lesson the hard way. When I was a young preacher, I preached a message that I thought was really good. So then I went somewhere else and thought, well, I'll just preach the same message because it was good. Guess what? It wasn't that good the second time because it's not what the Lord had for that group of people. But all week I've had that same lesson from last week on my heart and mind. It has not left me. And so I thought, well, I've got to preach that. But boy, I've learned that lesson the hard way. Well, the Lord has confirmed it because really, I want to talk today about the fact that Jesus is coming back. Do we know that today? That Jesus is returning. Well, how much has that been underscored this weekend? It has been on my heart all week, and then yesterday at our annual meeting, Brother Dan Hill brought a message about how preachers need to preach more about the return of Jesus. And then this morning, we sing, "When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart." We sang, "Jesus is coming soon." And even Brother Allen in the children's message talked about when Jesus comes back. The Lord has confirmed for me that this is what we need to talk about today, right? Jesus is coming back. Is that our hope? And yet, how many times, with that kind of hope in view, do we get discouraged and deflated and defeated by the circumstances of life that are occurring in our own homes? Or when we look at things around us in the world. How many of you would admit that by nature you tend to be a little bit of a pessimist? Okay, so there's a few of us and probably a bunch more that aren't telling the truth. By nature, I'll admit it. By nature, I tend to be a pessimist. Jessica will tell you that, that I tend to see that things are only ever going to get worse. But you know what's funny is sometimes she'll say, "You're such a pessimist." And I'll say, "I'm not being pessimistic, I'm being a realist." Well, I got one that agrees with me back there. You know what? Sometimes we can confuse being realist with being pessimistic. Sometimes it's not a pessimistic attitude that sees that things aren't good. Sometimes it's realism that lets us see that things aren't good and that things are going in the wrong direction. They say that, you know, optimists always see the cup half full, pessimists see the cup half empty. But you know what? A realist is just willing to say, "There's a leak in the cup." It's not pessimistic to realize there's a leak in the cup. It's not pessimistic to realize that the water is leaving. If it were, then Jesus was a pessimist, wasn't he? But Jesus can't be a pessimist because Jesus is the opposite of pessimism. Jesus is hope. Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is hope, and yet he was honest enough to be able, of course he was honest enough, he was perfect in all his ways, but in his perfect honesty, he was able to be real and say, look, things are going to get rough. Because we look at the world around us and we think, oh, how long till Jesus comes and saves us from all this, right? Have you looked at the news this week and kind of wondered the same thing? We by nature, particularly those of us who love the Lord, we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And we want to know how long, what's the sign? How will we know when the end is approaching? How will we know when we're in the last days? First of all, folks, we are in the last days, and we have been since Jesus walked the earth. You know how I know that? Because in Hebrews, we're told that, I'm going to kind of paraphrase here, that in various times and places, God has spoken in times past by the prophets to the fathers, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Amen. We've been in the last days since Jesus was here. So we are now living in the last days. And ever since Jesus ascended, and even before he ascended, disciples of Jesus have been asking, how long till the end? How long till you set up your kingdom? That's what we're going to look at today. We're in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to start with verse 3 and read through verse 14. So as you're able, I'd ask that you stand in reverence for the reading of God's word. So in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, beginning at verse 3, the word of God says, "Now as he, that is Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Christ," and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." Let's pray. Lord, I ask you today, bless the reading of your word in the way that only you can, Lord. By your Spirit, give life to this utterance. Speak to hearts, Lord, to challenge us, to encourage us, to convert us. Whatever is needful for us and for your glory today, have your way among us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And so just like today, when we see all the things that are going on in the world, we get despairing about it, and we say, how much longer, O Lord? When will you come? What's the sign of your coming? The disciples came to Jesus and said, when are you going to bring in your kingdom, Lord? Tell us, when will these things be? And Jesus, in his typical way, paints a rosy picture of sunshine and rainbows leading into his kingdom, right? But isn't that what a lot of the TV preachers preach, that it's sunshine and rainbows leading into Jesus? If you just turn your life over to Jesus, then all your problems go away. Isn't that what we hear from so many? But that's not what Jesus said, is he? Is it? But we don't like the doom and gloom Jesus, right? Because he seemed awfully pessimistic there, doesn't he? Except he's not pessimistic, he's a realist. And Jesus, in the explaining the reality of things, he says, it's going to get worse. Now, when we read that, if we are pessimistic in nature, we tend to think, oh, it's not only going to get worse, it's going to be awful, right? We say things like that. Well, it's not only going to be bad, it's going to be awful. It's not only going to get worse, but we all going to die. But Jesus is saying it's going to get worse. So let's look at what he says and frame it with what we see here. A couple things we need to note as we read. The word Christ in Greek is a title, not a name. So when he says that many will come and say, I am the Christ, he's not saying people rise up and say, I'm Jesus. He's saying that many will rise up and say, follow me. I'm the anointed messenger of God. I will bring salvation. I will fix it all. That's what it is when folks say, I am the Christ. Another thing we have to keep in mind is in English, when we read the word then, T-H-E-N, we tend to think of a sequence of events, right? First this, then this, then this, then this. First, second, third, fourth. But again, if you look at, and I know some of y'all think I'm such a nerd for looking at the original languages. That's okay. I'm nerdy. I don't mind. But it helps us sometimes because in the Greek, that word that's translated as then does not mean next in a sequence of events. It means at that time. So what Jesus is saying when he says then and then is he's saying at that time, you'll see this. And also at that time, you'll see this. And also at that time, you'll see this. It's not this has to happen before this. It's you're going to see all these things. So let's look at it. He says, take heed that no one deceive you. First thing we have to know as we look at the world around us today is we've got to be stalwart in our faith. We have to know the word of God. We have to be careful that no one will deceive us. Are you solid in your foundation? Are you standing on that solid rock of Jesus Christ? Take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Have we seen that? Have we seen people rise up and say, I'm the Savior, I'm the anointed of God, I'm the anointed messenger? Yeah, we have. I mean, first there was Jesus, but there were those that came after him, such as Muhammad, Joseph Smith and his golden plates. And those are kind of large scale, but we've also seen it on smaller scale. David Koresh in Waco had a small group of followers that thought he was the one that would usher in things. Jim Jones and his Kool-Aid drinkers. Many were deceived. And from time to time, we keep seeing people arise and deceiving either masses or groups or whatever, but many, many will come in my name saying I'm the Christ and will deceive many. And we'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do we see that today? Yeah. Look at what's happening in the Middle East right now and what's happening in Ukraine and what's happening in with China saber-rattling all the time, either over Taiwan or over us and Taiwan. Always wars and rumors of wars. And we hear this, we see this on the news, and I've heard and seen a lot of people on Facebook this week, and it's fine, I'm not knocking this, to stand for Israel, pray for Israel. We should be praying for those afflicted by war, but those that are concerned that, oh, could this be the end? Oh, the world's coming. Oh no. The next thing Jesus said is, see that you're not troubled. Are you troubled? Are you disheartened by what you see going on around you? I'm not saying we should celebrate, but listen to me. He says, see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. All these things that trouble us and cause us dis-ease that are happening in the world today, whether it be cult leaders rising or wars, rumors of wars, things going on, and they certainly do impact us. They impact real people in real places at real times. Real people are losing their lives. But we must not let our spirits be troubled. We must not lose faith or become unsettled or moved off of that solid rock, because these things have to happen. These things must come to pass. It's part of the plan. But the end is not yet, Jesus says. He says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Do we see that? Oh yeah, we've seen an ebb and flow with empires rising and falling. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. You know what famine is? A lot of us think famine in terms of food's not growing, right? But is that all famine is? Think of what happens when famine strikes and there's no food, but there are still people. The demand outpaces the supply. What do we call that in our economy? Inflation. What are we seeing now? Inflation. High inflation. We're in the midst of a famine, folks. Do you know what pestilences are? Pestilences are plagues, diseases, right? Have we seen any of those? Well, we just came out of a big one, right? COVID. And COVID was the first one in, I don't know, hundreds of years, right? No, because before that there was Ebola, there was swine flu, there was avian flu, there was HIV. I mean, something is going to kill us every year. We're all going to die. All the time. Earthquakes in various places speaks to natural disasters. Do we see natural disasters occurring? Yes, it's not just earthquakes, although we see earthquakes, but we see tsunamis, which are caused by what? Earthquakes under the sea. We see hurricanes. We see tornadoes that ravage lands. We see wildfires. We see all kinds of natural disasters. And all of that is brought on by what? We can say it. We know we'll be joking, right? Climate change. Global warming. It's all because the earth is getting hotter. In fact, I remember 35 years ago when I was in school, I went home from school each day scared to death because the ice age was coming any minute. I was going to freeze in my sleep one night. I was convinced of that at school. Just going to freeze in my sleep. And imagine my surprise when I found out that the reason I was going to freeze in my sleep is because the planet was getting warmer. Strange how things work. Because the planet's been getting warmer for hundreds of years now. We know that, right? Anyway, trust the science. But Jesus says something. We see all of these things happening, right? Are wars and rumors of wars new? Are famines or inflation new? Are pestilences new? Is any of this new? No, in fact, the Word of God speaks to that too. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. But Jesus says something important here. He says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. That word sorrows is the word used for the travail of childbirth. Elsewhere in the Greek language, the travail of childbirth. That's why some of your translations probably read, all these are the beginning of the labor pains or the birth pains. I think it was a couple weeks ago, Jessica and I were talking about just the prices of things and how inflation has hit everyone because you can't even go to the grocery store and buy a can of vegetables for, you know, less than your firstborn, it seems, right now. And she said, do you think it'll ever get better? I don't know why she asked me that, because she knows I'm a pessimist. But actually, you know what I told her? I said, yes, I do. I think it'll get better. But will it be soon? I don't know. Will it get worse before it gets better? Quite possibly. But you know how I know it's going to get better? God is the ultimate answer. Thank you for that. But it's because the laws of nature tell us that almost everything happens in cycles, right? Economies are cycles. You have downtrends, and what follows that? An uptrend. And what follows that? A down, and then an up. So right now, we're in a downtrend. Are we in the trough yet? I don't know. So it could get worse. But no matter, even if it does get worse, is it going to get better? Yes, it's going to get better. But you know what's interesting about the fact that Jesus says all these are the beginning of birth pains is birth pains go in a cycle like that too, right? Up and down. You go down where the mother-to-be is in excruciating pain, and then it levels off. And then here comes the pain again, and then it levels off. The thing is, it's not sinusoidal. It doesn't stay even like that, right? What happens? It what? It intensifies and gets closer together. So the pains intensify, but they also get closer together. But what happens at the end of the birth pains? The baby's born. And Jesus said all these terrible things. The pestilences that we see, it's not that we've never seen them before, but we're going to see them and they're going to be worse. And they're going to be closer together. They're going to happen back to back to back. The natural disasters, they're going to be worse in intensity and they're going to get back to back to back to back. The famines, the inflations, they may get more severe and they're going to get closer together and back to back to back. The wars and the rumors of wars, closer together, more wide scale. Now you tell me, is that what we're seeing when we look at history on an opposite spectrum? When we look from a wider scale, do we see more frequent warring? Do we see more frequent plagues? Do we see more frequent economic downturns? Yes, we do. How do we know if we're at the last? We can't. But one thing we can know for certain is Jesus said, see that you're not troubled, because these things must come to pass. Folks, we look at the news and we pray for the people being affected by loss of jobs, by economic downturns. We pray for those being affected by war-torn countries. But the child of God should not lose heart. The child of God should look at that and say, praise the Lord, his coming is nearer today than it was yesterday. Because why? Because these are the beginning of sorrows. And a little later in chapter 24, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, immediately after all this travail, at the end of the birth pains, he says, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We don't need to be troubled by what we see going on in the world today. We do need to pray, and we need to be vigilant. We need to be firmly firmly standing on the rock of truth. We need not be swayed. But when we see these things happening, don't be troubled. Instead, say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Because the Lord is coming. And he says, at the same time that you see all of this, in the midst of the beginning of sorrows, he says, at that time, they'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Do we see that happening? I mean, luckily here in America, at least right now, we don't have anyone being offered up and killed for the sake of Jesus. Has it ever happened here in America? Yes, it has. Look up some Baptist ministers that were imprisoned unjustly in Spotsylvania, Virginia, simply because they chose to follow what Scripture taught them rather than what the Anglican Church taught. Persecution happens even in this country. We may not be being killed, but are we hated for his name's sake? Yes. And guess what? Jesus said it would happen. So why do we have so many teachers and maybe well-intended but vastly misguided Christians that are saying, well, if we just love the world, they'll love us? No, they won't. Folks, if we're not ruffling some feathers, we're not doing it right. Jesus said that. If we compromise, that's the only way to please the world. But there's only one truth. There's only one way. We will be hated for his name's sake. And he says, and also at that time, many will be offended. And he kind of turns his attention toward the establishment of the church here. He says, many will be offended. That word offense means to cause to lose trust in something or someone who ought to be trusted and obeyed. Does the persecution, does the hate for people because of Jesus' name cause many to be offended, to stumble along the way, to fall back into sin, to turn back, to stop trusting in Jesus, even though he's the only one that ought to be trusted and obeyed? When we see people falling away from the Lord, Jesus told us it would happen. And is it a tragic thing? Yes, it is. But are we actually losing ground? No, because in his first epistle, John tells us they went out from us because they were not of us. But many will be offended and will betray one another. Do we see betrayals in the church today? And will hate one another. Y'all kept up with what's happened in the United Methodist Church over the last few years? They've split because there was a liberal wing of the United Methodist Church that believed that what they feel should guide their doctrine, and then there was a conservative wing that still clung to the authority of Scripture. And they have split. There is now a liberal United Methodist Church and a more Bible-centric global Methodist Church. But boy, it was acrimonious there for a while. People hated one another. The liberals in the United Methodist Church wanted to make the conservatives pay and pay heavily to leave the denomination. Why? Because they dared believe the authority of Scripture. That Scripture has the... They dared to believe that God could call sin what it is. So they hated one another. We see that happening today, and it's not the first time in history. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So at that time, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Do we see that? Yeah, turn on just about any TV preacher these days, and there you go. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness, some translations say iniquity. Lawlessness, iniquity, it's just, it's an opposition, a condemnation of God's law. It's an affront of it. Do we see that today? I mean, these are political hot button issues, but let's look at the idea of abortion on demand. When God said, thou shalt not kill. Let's look at the homosexual agenda and the transgender agenda. When God said he created them male and female created he them. And yet we've got a culture of lawlessness that says, no, he didn't. I decide. I decide how I was made. It's all about obliterating the image of God, because the condemnation for the law of God expands to where it's a condemnation of God himself. And so if the image of God is in each one of us, then we have to mark it out. You weren't created male or female. You just happened. And because you just happened, then it doesn't matter if you ever came into being. And on and on and on it goes. And it's seen in lots of other things. But we have a spirit of lawlessness in our culture today. And because of that, the love of many will grow cold. Now, this isn't that heartwarming, lovey-dovey stuff. This is love of action, where one will give of himself for the sake of another. So if the love of many have grown cold, it means we become a selfish and self-centered society. Have we seen that? But he who endures to the end shall be saved. He who endures. Now that doesn't mean he who survives. Just earlier in that passage, he said, many will be killed for my name's sake. He's not saying, well, because you didn't survive, you're just out. He's talking about enduring, persevering. He who clings to the truth, he who clings to the hope that's coming, will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Folks, as long as there are people in the world who have not heard the gospel, the end won't come. That is part of why we work in missions. Number one, we want people all over the world to hear the good news that Jesus Christ died to save us from our sinfulness. We want everyone to hear so that they can be saved. But we also know that once everyone has heard, that God will be just in coming back and judging sin. And so, out of compassion, we spread the gospel, but we also spread the gospel of missions as a means of saying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But if you look at Matthew 24 here, where Jesus says what the end will look like, do we see it today? Now, can I be so alarmist as to say that based on what we see here in our culture today, that Christ will come back sometime this year? No, I can't, because no one knows when the birth pains are over until the baby's there. But we know that, yes, it's going to get worse, okay? It's going to get worse. But the good news for us today is we don't have to lose heart, because it's not only going to get worse. It's also going to get better, and so much better. When the Son of Man comes in the clouds of glory, Hebrews tells us that he died once for sin, but he will also appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. And what that means is he came the first time to identify with sinful man. When he comes a second time, it won't be to identify with us. It will be to save those of us who identify with him. So yes, it's going to get worse, but it's not only going to get worse. Don't be disheartened. My message, the message the Lord has for us today, folks, is be encouraged and be strengthened to stand strong no matter what the economy does, no matter if half the world blows up. It might happen. And we may be impacted. War may come to our shore at some point. But even if it does, don't lose heart. See that your hearts are not troubled. These things must come to pass. But the end is coming. The end is coming. So I want us to be encouraged in the light of what we see in the world today, both in the culture in terms of violence, what we see happening, you know, many of us from our very small perspective of our lifetimes, we think of the good old days when we were up on a curve a little bit more and the church was more respected and all that. That was an uphill on the cycle. So we're on a downhill. There may be another turn where everything goes up and gets better even before Jesus comes back. But if it gets better and he doesn't come back, guess what's going to happen? It's going to get worse again, and faster, and even more worse. But don't lose heart, because Jesus is coming. He's coming. Don't lose heart, child of God. But the word of warning to us today is, do you identify with Christ? When he returns, he won't be coming to die for sin again. He won't be coming to identify with sinful man again. He'll be seeking those who have identified with him. Those are the ones that will be saved. Not because we're special, but because by grace through faith, we have died to sin and been united with Christ. So when he comes back, he's coming for me. Not because of anything I've done or anything I am, but because of who he is and what he's done for me. But what he's done for me, he wants to do for everyone here. And there may be many who think, well, I don't know that I can believe all that. Can we agree that what we're seeing, that what he said would happen, we are seeing? And if we can, with an honest eye, look and say, yes, everything Jesus said is coming to pass, even the fact that it's happening more frequently and maybe even a little more severe, if he was right about that, if he could predict that, if he told the truth about that, then he's also telling the truth when he says, I'll be back. Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, there will be judgment on sin. The only way to be safe is to be saved from sin. Now, that doesn't make me sinless or not prone to error. It just means that because of Jesus, I no longer identify with sinful Adam. I identify with him. But by repentance to conviction of sin through faith in Jesus Christ, whosoever will come can be saved and can be identified with Jesus. If you're not ready for him to come back, I plead with you, be reconciled to God today. Because Jesus is coming. For those of us who are in Christ, we can have the optimistic perspective to say it's not only going to get worse, it's going to get so much better. But for those who don't know Christ, pessimism is the only way you've got to go. It's not only going to get worse, it's going to stay worse. Find your hope in Jesus Christ today. Whether you're lost and in need of a Savior, find hope in Jesus. if you're saved, but you're looking at the world and fretting over what you see, find your hope in Jesus, because he's coming. Are you ready for his coming? Here in just a moment, we'll sing a song, and I want to invite you, just talk to the Lord. If he is convicting you of your need to identify with him, then seek the Lord. Seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul. Pour out your heart to him in repentance and in faith. And when the Lord who reads your heart sees that you have fully trusted in him and fully repented, he'll save you. His spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're the child of God. No one will need to tell you that you've been saved and redeemed. But maybe you need to let go of some sense of dread that you have, or some insecurity that you have. Maybe you need to repent of vacillating or being tempted to compromise instead of standing firm on the truth. Whatever it is the Lord may lead you to do, do that. Do that as we sing and as we pray and follow the Lord today. But leave here encouraged. If you can't leave encouraged, then leave here knowing you've been warned. Let's stand together for a word of prayer and then we'll sing. Lord, I give you thanks today for your word. Lord, sometimes your word is hard to bear. But even when it's hard to bear, Lord, it always comes with a heaping dose of hope. And so, Lord, I thank you for the truth that while things could get worse, oh, they're going to get better. And Lord, lead us to all have hearts that are willing to endure what we must hear, knowing that what we endure only shapes us and prepares us to be more like you. Lord, help us to have hearts that all say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, if there be any here today that do not yet know you, that have not yet identified with you, Lord, convict them through your Spirit. Do that which only you can do, because we can't convince any man. But nothing is impossible for God. Have your way among us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.